This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate is holding a marathon session as Republicans try to pass the massive budget bill by a July 4th deadline. It includes tax breaks for the wealthy.
To pay for those, Republicans are cutting things like Medicaid by imposing new work requirements, as well as dealing with something called the provider tax, which helps states fund their various Medicaid obligations. They've also got new work requirements that are imposed on SNAP, food assistance, and it changes the funding mechanism for the first time in SNAP's history and makes states have to pay more for their various SNAP programs by either a 5 to 25% percentage.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. President Trump pushing for a Gaza ceasefire deal and the release of all hostages. It comes as the IDF carried out a strike today, killing dozens at a Gazan cafe. The Intercontinental Exchange shows the U.S. dollar is having its worst first half of the year since 1973, down 10.58% in the first 6 months due to President Trump's tariffs. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 24. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to the change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021. A pair of bills aimed at increasing the amount of nuclear energy production in Wisconsin have passed in the state legislature. One of the bills directs the state to conduct a nuclear siting study in an effort to identify potential locations for nuclear power generation. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission has estimated the study will require at least $1 million of funding to complete. The other bill would establish a temporary board to plan and hold a nuclear power summit in Madison. Both bills now head to Governor Tony Evers for consideration. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is offering free RFID identification tags for cattle and bison this summer. According to a press release, the DATCAP has a limited supply of the RFID tags and expects them to be available until around late September. The tags were supplied by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They can be ordered in multiples of 1,000, and there is a 5,000 tag limit. The agency is also offering separate orange button tags for veterinarians for identification when vaccinating against brucellosis.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A new deal for Bobby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a 3-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asked why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do. So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me, and it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies, 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had 3 hits through the 9th inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had 4 hits. And 2 homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an isolated shower or a storm around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny skies with a high of 82. For tonight, mostly clear skies with lows near 60. On Tuesday, the first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 86.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, breaking down more decisions from Wisconsin Supreme Court with Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our fantastic producer and engineer back at the home station in Madison, Wisconsin. We are coming to you live here at WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on a beautiful day. It is Monday, June 30th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to hour number 2 of the big program, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to be with you. Many thanks to Trigby Olson and Pat Kreitlow for filling in hour number 1. Also, thank you to State Senator Kelda Royce for being here on the show talking about the state budget. Mr. Zommers, how are you doing on this fine Monday?
Doing well. You know, I had a nice, relaxing weekend. One of my friends from college came to visit, so good to see people you haven't seen in a while.
Well, good for you.
And, yeah, it's a good day to be inside if you're me. How are you doing?
I'm well. Is the camera down there still not working? Or are you just choosing not to be on camera?
I just had it off because otherwise it was covering you up.
Oh, okay. Well, some people would say that's all for the best. But nice to see your smiley face. Again, many thanks to Pat and Trigby for filling in hour number 1. And I was listening to the show the first hour, because I was on the road, and it was number one, it was fantastic. Trigby and Pat always do a great job, and Zommers as well. And I heard Pat talking about it. Sounded very secret, very clandestine. Todd will tell you what's going on. So here's the deal. Here's why Pat, and what a mensch he is, to use a word, for filling in, because it is the 80th birthday today of my stepmom, Mary. Mary Alva here in Shawnee, and her party was, and I'm not sure if this was a sign or not, her party was from 1 until 4 on a Monday afternoon, which is great because a lot of her friends, that's the best time for her. And I said, well, that's going to be a little tough for me to make it, but let me see what I could do. So Pat and Trigby were kind enough to say, well, we'll help you out. They did hour number 1, and then I left at basically the start of the show. I got in the old truck and motored over here to the beautiful studios of WGBW. Many thanks to their great general manager here, Todd Michaels, for taking pity and saying, sure, we can put you up here. So I'm in one of the studios here. Not in the Pete Schwabba studio today, because Pete has to get ready for his show later on tonight from 6 until 8. But, was over in Shawnee, celebrated with cake and root beer floats. It was a beautiful day. Big crowd for Mary. Well deserved. And it's still going on. So my stepbrother Mike is there, but also my brother-in-law Mike is there. So brother-in-law Mike, what? Two mics for the price of one. So brother-in-law Mike has taken. I was the cake server. 4 cakes, lemon, wow, which went well. Black Forest, which only a slice left when I left the party. Then you had your carrot cake with walnut and your turtle cake. And my sister was on bar duties doing root beer floats, diet or regular. So that was a big party. It was, as Ken Lewis likes to say, good time had by all. So happy birthday to my stepmom, Mary, and thanks for everybody for letting me get an hour of that in. You're not going to want to miss this hour here now that we're back in the show. Lots going on this hour, the bottom of the hour. Two new folks from Wisconsin to watch. This is always great, Zobbers, when somebody makes their radio debut. And so Maggie and No from Wisconsin Watch will be in making their radio debut right here on the show. Going to be talking a little bit about the budget process. I know you guys talked about it in hour one. They're going to give us some journalistic updates. Where is this all going? What does this all mean? And also a little bit on the federal budget as well. Ron Johnson getting a case of the yips over the weekend. He was a no, and then he was a yes. So we'll talk to them about that a little bit as well. Maybe take a phone call or two. But right now, Zommers, 10 minutes past. By the way, before we do the what's worse, I don't want to talk about this today too much because we're a little short on time. I'm going to get into it tomorrow. So join the show tomorrow. Because, and people who listen to this show know, I grew up in Richland Center. I've now spent half my life in Madison. And I love Madison, Wisconsin. But I'll tell you, I was rarely so happy to get out of Madison this weekend than for the big Morgan Wallen concert. Concerts are back at Camp Randall and for the economy and all that, fantastic. But boy, there were some different folks in town.
That's what I stayed home because of that. My friend was here for a conference that he had to go to for work that was downtown. So he saw a lot of the crowd.
I had a lot of off-the-record conversations this weekend, by the way. We're going to talk more about those tomorrow as well. But one of the folks said this that I was talking to this weekend. I said, you nailed it. And they said, well, don't tell anybody I said it. I said, all right. But this individual, I was trying to describe. I said, look, I've gone to country music. I like country music, like Kenny Chesney, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson. I was at the Willie Nelson concert at Bree Stevens Field in Madison last year. And, you know, country music fans are great. But these were not your typical country music fans you find in Wisconsin for the most part. I know there were country music fans in Wisconsin that went to the big Morgan Wallen concert. But I couldn't nail it. And this individual said they're rich country fans. I said, yes, that's it. They ain't the run-of-the-mill country fans. These people are the wealthy. Because I mean, some of these women, as my grandma used to say, they were all done up. They had these fancy cowboy boots on and these, I guess they're called sundresses. I'm not making this up. They barely covered the cheeks of their posterior.
Yeah.
And then full makeup. I mean, and full glamour shop makeup, hair extensions, bedazzled hats. This ain't the country music fans you find at the Boaz Bar, you understand?
You're right. It's not. It's people who have a cowboy hat and cowboy boot fetish.
This is another breed of cat. It's another breed of cat. So I encountered someone at the terrace over the weekend, and she was wearing a hat, a particular hat, which I had not seen in the wild before. I'll get into it tomorrow. We're gonna build a whole segment around it, so don't miss this tomorrow. Anyway, it's 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. All that.
Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money to give away. No prizes per se involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 stations on the old Civic Media Radio Network. No better place to advertise than Civic Media. Join us at civicmedia.us to find out how you can join us here. Sponsor one of the shows. For my money, up and down the dial, there are stations that might be equal, especially within the Civic Media family. There ain't no better station, you understand, than WGBW 97.9 FM right here in Green Bay, 1590 AM on your dial. Great shows originate out of here, like Pete Schwabba and Nightline. He'll be in a little bit later tonight to make sure I'm not monkeying around with his business here at the studios in Green Bay. You've got Rational Revolution with our friend Mark Becker on Saturday. He's got the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show on the weekend. You've got, help me out, Zommers, the Weekend Wisco show.
Yeah, New Wisco Weekend.
Thank you. No, New Wisco Weekend with Lisa Hale and Terry Barr and others.
Am I missing anybody? And Mino and the Mayor.
Of course, Mino and the Mayor every morning here in Green Bay and Oshkosh between 6 and 9. So it's great people up here. They're always welcoming. They let me crash on the sofa. No, not really. But they do have showers here. They're great folks, and we appreciate them so very much. So get involved. Get involved and advertise and sponsor one of these great programs or one of our other civic media programs as well. All right, Zommers, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says. I've been driving back and forth here the last 24 hours between Green Bay and Shawano. No, it's Shawano. Highway 29 and the Green Bay area, I think one of the first places in the state of Wisconsin to really embrace the roundabout. The roundabout. Other people, not so much. So, the question of the day in what's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights? What's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights?
To me, it's easy. 855-752-4842.
855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today for free. It takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gayle King calls a deal over at CBS. Go to your Apple or Android device. Go to the search bar on your app store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, and there you go. The Civic Media app. Get it today. All right, Zommers, roundabouts or traffic lights? Roundabouts or traffic lights? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tony, watching us on YouTube. Don't forget, you can join us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twix, whatever you want to call it. Tony on YouTube says, love roundabouts. So efficient. Boo on traffic lights. Steve in Milwaukee listened on WAUK. Traffic lights, especially the long ones, are worse. Cam listening in Appleton says, worked for the Department of Transportation. Roundabouts are statistically better and safer. If you can't manage a roundabout, then I don't think you should handle anything more dangerous than a child's play shopping cart. Wow, that's a hot take from Cam. What's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Christy, listening on WCFW, The Tap over in beautiful Eau Claire, says traffic lights are worse. Traffic comes to a stop. Traffic circles keep things moving along. Ben, listening on WRCE in beautiful Richland Center in the Driftless, says roundabouts are way, way faster. I don't know why people are so mystified about how they work. All right, very good. Appreciate that. Also, Christine Eau Claire, a big shout out to Pat Kreitlow earlier for letting Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls know there was a storm a-brewing. Bunch of us went out and closed our car windows. Thank you so much. They're very good. See, that's the kind of guy, if you can't be here, the kind of guy you want to fill in your chair for you is a guy like Pat Kreitlow. A, he's just a great guy. And B, he is a broadcaster. You understand? A broadcaster.
And it really shows, you know, he was in the legislature because he cares about the people. You can tell he still does because, you know, he's giving out weather alerts.
Absolutely. Great job, Pat. We appreciate that. What's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights? 855-752-4842. Mike, listening in Sun Prairie on WMDX out of Madison, says, love roundabouts. Hate traffic lights. They save time and they save gas. Also, John in Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says, as long as people follow the yield sign and don't treat it as an automatic stop sign, roundabouts work fine. Yield to the left and stay in your lane. Easy. Let's see here. Nan in Brookfield says traffic lights are worse. Can sit there idling when there is no cross traffic in sight. Roundabouts much better and more efficient. Nan in Brookfield. Appreciate you listening, Nan, on WAUK. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Yes, the rock band had a song Roundabout.
Yeah, what? He stole my thunder. Roundabout by Yes. I was going to play it in the next segment. I still will.
We still can. Yeah, absolutely. I know Troy's on the line. Troy, hold. I know we're coming up on a break here, so we're going to do a little business, as we say. Come back, take Troy's call, and maybe yours as well. Give us a jingle at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights? Don't go anywhere. We're live from Green Bay on WGBW, and Kreitlow's right. I like to take it right into the end of the All Ball Show.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock, live from Green Bay, Wisconsin today, the heart of WGBW, our great station up here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a great community, great town. If there's so much to do besides the Packers, but we can't ignore the Packers either. I was staying at one of the beautiful Hampton Inns here in Green Bay last night, and I got up this morning to have a little breakfast, and there was a lovely couple. One of these people, a young couple, and you think, well, I'll see, that gives you hope for humanity. I don't know if they were even out of their 20s yet. They were probably mid to late 20s, and they had a little boy, I believe, who could not have been more than 1.5, 2. And this kid was well-demeanored, and you could tell it was probably because the way the parents treated them, and they were healthy zomers. This couple, this man and this woman, they were eating. You know, here Todd was eating the mini waffles and the overly sweet lemon poppy seed muffin and coffee, and this couple is having yogurt and milk and an apple, and they're all very happy. Well, it turns out that I overheard him talking to another family of about 6 people, the grandparents and the kids and the grandkids. They were all here in town to see the Packers Hall of Fame and go to Lambeau Field. And the one couple, with a little kid. They're from Detroit. They said, well, we're actually Detroit Lions fans, but you know what? We were passing through and on this trip, and we thought, we're in Green Bay. There's so much history. We want to come and see it. And I thought, right there, that's what the Packers symbolize and the Green Bay Packers organization. And how cool is it that the economic engine driver that are the Green Bay Packers, it's so much more than sports. So anyway, it's just, and as we talked before with Mino and the mayor, there's a great entertainment and art center here. The downtown is being revitalized. You've got Bay Beach Park, all kinds of great things here in Green Bay. So do yourself a favor and check out Green Bay this summer. Many thanks to all the staff here at WGBW. All right, right now we're right in the middle of what's worse, roundabouts or traffic lights? Roundabouts or traffic lights? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also, yes, shout out to Mark and the Sack and Zombers. It was called The Rock Band, the saying Roundabout?
No, it's, the band is Yes, and the song is Roundabout.
I like that. Roundabouts? Yes. Or yes, saying about roundabouts. Roundabouts or traffic lights, what's worse? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Our friend Troy listening in Mount Horeb on WMDX. Troy, thanks for holding. Roundabouts or traffic lights, what's worse?
I thought I was going to be arguing with people because my circle, they like traffic lights better, I guess. But they actually just dislike roundabouts, but I love them. I think they're anytime you can get rid of a stop sign or a stoplight, they're awesome.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you, Troy. I mean, I'm not sure I was hot on them right at first, but what happened was those people listen to the show, I've taken a lot of trips over the years to El Salvador and San Salvador, where down there, I think like in some parts of Europe, it's just a common thing. And in El Salvador, right, they have like they're huge ones. It's like six lane roundabouts, and in it, it's like a fair ride. You got to go in there and you got to fight, and you got to know it. It's fantastic. It's like driving the Daytona 500.
Aren't they like that in London too?
I think I've never been to London, but yeah, I've heard somewhere. But yeah, I got used to driving on those. And I come back here and just a standard roundabout, that's nothing. It's a lot of fun. So appreciate.
I love them. They're easy. I love them. They're great.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate the call. Have a great day up there, beautiful Mount Horeb. 855-752-4842. What's worse, roundabouts or stoplights, traffic lights? Connie, listening on WMDX in Madison, says roundabouts are better if everyone follows the rules. Also a new listener on WISS. Thank you very much for listening. I believe, Zomers, is the paperwork done? Well, there is a rumor that Jane Matinier, Greg Bach, and I are taking a road trip to WISS area in Oshkosh. I hope to goodness it's true. But a new listener on WISS says traffic lights are the worst. People can't text going through roundabouts. That's really good. It's hard to text, right, if you're going through a roundabout. Thanks for listening to us. Brand new listener there in Oshkosh. We'll be up there soon. Come out and say hi. Ollie in the North Woods right now on the line. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Ollie, roundabouts or traffic lights, what's worse?
Traffic lights are definitely the worst. And here in the United States, we have roundabouts with just a few lanes. We lived in Paris when I was younger, and the roundabouts had like 10 or 12 different avenues coming off of them. So you had to get on there and know where you were going. And if you can do that, you should be able to do a simple two-lane roundabout here in the United States.
I love it. Thanks, Ollie. Have a great day up there in the North Woods. 855-752-4842. Let's keep it in Madison on WMDX. Adrian in Madison, thanks for calling. Roundabouts or traffic lights, Adrian, what's worse?
I think the roundabouts are way worse. The statistics you cited saying that you get lesser accidents with traditional traffic signals, or with roundabouts, I should say, is true. Mm-hmm. But you got to break that down a little farther. You get fewer traffic accidents with traditional intersections. But the thing is, you completely disregard the interests of bicyclists and motorcyclists because they just get slaughtered in, right. in roundabouts.
That's a great point, Adrian. Thanks for calling. Have a great day there in Madison. Yeah, I mean, roundabouts, no place for a biker. You want to have someplace else for them to go quickly. Steve in Madison says, I think lights are necessary for busier, complicated intersections, though, but in general, they're worse. Zomers, what's worse?
Oh, yeah, traffic lights are worse. Way more dangerous.
Agreed, traffic lights are, in fact, worse. That's how we play it. Come on back. Wisconsin Watches next. Don't go anywhere. News, weather, sports, and agricultural updates next. Across Wisconsin, the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Three experts saw an uptick in cow numbers, and the projection is that that might continue. I'm Kylie Allen, and you're tuning in to the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday. Before we take a look at our closing markets, we hear from the principal of EverAg, Mike North. He's looking at the relationship between milk production, cow numbers, and beef on dairy.
The numbers of cows are really the key driver behind the growth. Cow numbers were up after some revisions to prior reports. The numbers were up 20,000 and totaling now 9.45 million. And you have to go back a few years ago to the peak of the herd when we, crested that 9.5 mark. And I really think you're going to see cow numbers continue to grow. We've been growing at a really fast pace. We're up over 100,000 cows from where we were last year. And part of that driver has been this big movement in the beef on dairy.
Mike North along with us. He's the principal with EverAg. I'll be back with a look at your closing markets after this.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her Suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And thanks to Monarch Media Design. The experts at Monarch can do everything from vinyl graphics to full trailer wraps, serving Madison since 2000. Monarch specializes in vehicle wraps and graphics. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, back with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 420 and a half, up 3 cents. New crop corn closed down 1 and a half at 425 and a half. Cash beans closed at 424 and a quarter, up 3 and a half. New crop beans closed at 1027, up 2 and a quarter. July wheat closed at 528 and three quarters, up 4. July Class 3 milk contract is up 19 cents and is trading at $17.75 a hundredweight. August milk is trading up 36 cents at $18.69 a hundredweight. 40-pound block cheese closed at $1.72, up 10 cents. AA butter closed at $2.60, up 3 3/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an isolated shower or a storm around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny skies with a high of 82. For tonight, mostly clear skies with lows near 60. On Tuesday, the first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs in the lower 80s. Current temperature is 85.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
If they lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Monday, June 30th, 2025. I am live here at our studios in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. WGBW, glad to have you along. Back at the world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin on State Street right now. We are joined by our next guest from Wisconsin Watch, the great publication. You can find all of their work at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Joining us right now via StreamYard from the Madison studios are Noe Goldhaber and also Maggie Schreiner. And we're glad to have both of them along. Folks, welcome to the program. I understand this is your debut here on Civic Media. That's very exciting for us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I always like to start with tell us a little bit about yourself. Noe, let's go ahead and begin with you. How did you, I understand you recently started with Wisconsin Watch? What were you doing before that? And what led you, what made you passionate about wanting to get into journalism?
Yeah, sure. So before that, I'm a student at UW. I'm going to graduate in spring of 2026.
So, oh, really? Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so Maggie and I, or I guess Maggie's an intern for a little longer, but I'm an intern for the summer. And I do a lot of work with our student publication on campus, the Daily Cardinal. And I think I started kind of freshman year of college, kind of getting into journalism, reporting on like student government, what's going on campus. And always just loved journalism as a way to like be engaged in the community and understand what was going on campus. So that was the beginning.
And where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Milwaukee.
Beautiful Milwaukee. Very good. Love Milwaukee. A great city. And Maggie, how about your similar question? Where'd you grow up and what led you to this and where what are you doing right now?
Yeah, I'm originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually. So I've only been in Wisconsin for going on to my fourth year in Wisconsin. Came here for the School of Journalism at UW-Madison. And similar to Noe, I've worked my way up the ranks of a student publication and yeah, I'm excited to be here, be at Wisconsin Watch, and be in the Capitol reporting.
So are both of you associated with the Cardinal as well?
No, I'm with the Herald, or I was with the Herald.
Competing.
Yeah, we're competitors. Look at that.
I love it. Well, I want to just take a minute. I've talked about it on this show before, and last year during the student protests on campus, some of the best journalism and most accurate information was coming from student journalists. And I even said, I hate to even put the precursor student in front of it. You guys are just journalists. And I think that the Cardinal and the Herald go, I'll use the pun, unheralded far too often because you all are doing great work there. And the J School at Madison is one of the finest in the country. So I just want to say thank you to both of you and your publications because you're doing great work.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Matt DeFore will give me angry texts if I don't say, also Wisconsin Watch is doing great work as well. But how cool is that? And it just shows you how forward-thinking DeFore is in Wisconsin Watch. Hey, let's kind of get some of these young journalists now and bring them on board and grow this because you want youthful energy, which is why Zomers hangs around just to make me look better. I think that's great. All right, enough of this silliness. Let's get into some of this, what you guys were working on this weekend. When last we left our listeners on Friday, the Joint Finance Committee had been scheduled to meet at 10. Then it got pushed back to 2. Then it got pushed back to 4. And then the boys just said, let's go out for a drink. We'll come back later. And apparently they finally did come back late into the evening.
Yeah, so they started after 10 p.m. on Friday and went just, I think, right before midnight. And, you know, they originally intended on finishing the budget up Friday. And, you know, that was what they were saying. That was what their, you know, original notice said. But they ended up actually not even finishing and missing some of the big ticket items like the capital budget, UW system, mm-hmm. childcare, health services.
Yeah. Noe?
Yeah, now those items seem to be on the agenda for tomorrow at 9 a.m. So there's still kind of a movement to get a deal between the Senate Assembly and Governor. So we look forward to see if that happens, and we'll be ready to cover kind of the remaining areas of the budget that have yet to come out of committee.
Now, this is interesting. I saw this over the weekend on social media. I just wondered, in either one of your reporting, things that you're hearing right now, Bill McCoshin, former Secretary of Commerce and also Chief of Staff under former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, is still very connected. He's a lobbyist now. I heard him talking, as they say, on another network. But he actually was saying over the weekend that the budget process or the budget negotiations never actually broke down. There was all this hoopla. Oh, the governor said and Robin Voss said we're not talking to each other. But McCoshin claims that that was not the case. That's been going back and forth. McCoshin also claims that Steve Noss is ready to cut a deal because I'm not sure. There's a guy, Mike Mickelson, who is his chief of staff, who basically is the real senator. My words, not yours. But McCoshin's saying is there's a deal with Noss ready to get on board. And he's saying that this child care issue, which is a huge issue for the state of Wisconsin and many of our listeners, that the governor is going to get part of that. That Voss is going to give the governor at least part of what he wants on the child care issue. Have either one of you heard that there may be a deal in the works, or is that just McCoshin talking big?
You know, I haven't heard specifically on that, but I do know that there have been efforts to approve some of what, you know, Governor Evers wants, notably child care, because he's made it pretty clear throughout the budget process that he's not going to sign a budget that doesn't include increased funding to child care. That's been one of his, you know, biggest items on this budget. And it's the year of the kid, in his words. So I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. But I'm hesitant to say whether that's true or not, because I haven't heard from my sources personally. But
sure. Noe?
Yeah, I would agree with Maggie. I haven't heard specifics to that degree from any of our sources. But I will say that the Republican line has been that they want an assurance from Evers that they're going to get a tax cut in the final budget. And when, I guess, budget negotiations initially broke down in early June, Evers' office was saying, you know, we agreed to a tax cut, but it wasn't, you know, of the degree that the Republicans wanted, and they weren't giving us enough for the funding for education and childcare that we wanted. So I think it seems to be that there could be Evers has agreed to a tax cut or can agree to a tax cut. But where those other pieces of the deal come, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. We're talking with Noe Goldhaber. Haber or Haber? I'm sorry.
Haber.
Haber. All right. Thank you very much. It's when you get old, you forget. So I like to write it down. So Noe Goldhaber and also Maggie Schreiner here on the show there from Wisconsin Watch. So I know you guys have been looking at the budget and writing a little bit about this in conjunction with other things. I'm not sure which one of you wants to go first, but what's something you guys have been working on right now at Wisconsin Watch?
Yeah, I can start. So I guess this is budget related, as is a lot of my work right now, but I'm looking in to Medicaid in particular and full Medicaid expansion in the state of Wisconsin, especially what's at play with federal funding and the big beautiful bill, as President Trump has named it. So kind of looking at how, you know, in the past Wisconsin has not accepted full expansion of Medicaid, full federal expansion of Medicaid, and, you know, part of the reasoning for Republicans in Wisconsin not accepting that is because they're they're worried that, you know, one day the federal government would pull the rug out from underneath the states, and the states would end up having to pay a lot more to cover individuals that, you know, qualify under full expansion. So I've been looking at that and kind of what's going on with this current budget cycle, what would be at risk, what wouldn't be at risk if, you know, this federal bill is passed, as, you know, and limits Medicaid in states, and, you know, whether or not, you know, if states pass it, if Wisconsin were to pass full Medicaid expansion now before the beginning of 2026, you know, how much money they would lose compared to not passing it. So I've been doing some research into that and kind of understanding the broader, more holistic view of what's going on with full Medicaid expansion, because it's a pretty in-depth topic and there's a lot of facets to it. So
there really are. I mean, it's one of those things, you go down a rabbit hole, and then, you know, I would think that for a journalist, any journalist, but it's like, okay, how do I take all this and put it down there in digestible parts for the average reader who's not going to sit there and read through this or pay attention to it like other folks might.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It's been a long process.
Lots of coffee, isn't it? You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And Noe, what have you been working on right now at Wisconsin Watch?
I think the larger project has been some of the budget coverage that we've been doing. So kind of looking into the budget motions, comparing that to what was in Evers' budget, and just trying to get really digestible information about what's going on with the budget. And Maggie and I have been working on a lot of that together. I think areas that I've been watching specifically are probably education related. So some DPI, Department of Public Instruction, and then also looking into UW system. I know you did some reporting on a proposed cut, potential cut to the UW system, and that seems to be kind of a sticking point in budget negotiations every year that the UW system budget comes up. So yeah, looking into those kind of topics within the budget has been what I've been focused on.
And yeah, I mean, to your point, again, they had on the agenda, Joint Finance Committee did last week, the University of Wisconsin system budget. I know it's, you know, universities are of, or what is it called? Wisconsin Universities, Wisconsin, I don't know.
Universities of Wisconsin is what they,
yes,
is what they
it.
Have.
Yes, thank you.
Now.
I'll always call it system because, you know, that's always what it's been up until like the last year or so. But that was on the agenda, and then they decided to punt, and they just keep putting it off and off. Again, it's going to be interesting. Some of the things that I've heard is that consensus maybe in order to get a budget passed that they just maintain funding at or near the current budget levels. They're not going to get the big $87 million cut. They're not also going to get any increases, but the compromise might be to essentially leave it where it's at. Have either one of you heard any new information you're reporting on that?
I don't have any new information on that.
Yeah, it's Maggie.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same with Noe. I think that a lot of these conversations have been kind of happening in closed caucus, so it'll be interesting to see what they're ultimately going to do, possibly tomorrow. You know, I think that there have been rumors out there, whisperings of trying to, you know, negotiate reforms to possibly increase funding, but that's, you know, we'll see what actually happens there.
Let me ask you this, because I just love having young journalists on. I like talking to young people in general because it gives me a sense of the future, right? What you guys both decided to go into journalism. Do you think that for people in your age group, your social group, do you have to – I know this isn't the mission necessarily of Wisconsin Watch, but do you guys think of things in terms of, okay, how am I going to connect with my friends that get most of their news on TikTok? Or do you think that there is what I would consider legacy media type of appetite for your generation, knowing then Maggie?
That's a good question. You know, I do know a lot of people that, you know, resort to social media for a lot of their news. I also know a lot of people who do, you know, go the typical news route still. I think I've noticed a lot of bigger, like, news organizations like Wisconsin Watch often, you know, have social media channels that they share bite-sized previews of stories, et cetera. So
right.
I think that's...
Well, you're both doing great work. I appreciate you coming on. Best of luck. We'll have you back soon. You can check out the work at wisconsinwatch.org. Noe Goldhaber and Maggie Schreiner, thank you so much for being on. We appreciate you both. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Come on back. We'll wrap up the show for Green Bay after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, "Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed." We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beale.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, followed by a check of weather. Our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Talk about a guy getting it done. Was in the Brewers series over the weekend. The Brewers dropped one yesterday, I believe, in extra innings, but a well-fought game. Clemens is always getting it done. He'll have the latest for you on sports around the state of Wisconsin. Jordan Love got married yesterday. I'm not sure if Clemens was there, but wouldn't that be something? Clemens will give you the details on the Jordan Love reception, if he was there. No, he's not that. He's a reporter. He's not going to go to a private event and report on it unless they tell him he can. Anyway, Clemens will be here just down the street. We're here in Green Bay reporting today, doing the second hour of the show from our great studios at WGBW here in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then it's going to be the Maggie Dawn show from 4 until 6, followed by an all-new edition of Pete Schwabba and Nightlight with Conrad, just feet from where I'm sitting right now. The great Pete Schwabba, followed by Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio. And then it will be Rick Smith Across America. I want to do this. Pat Kreitlow earlier, again, many thanks for him for hosting the first hour of the show today. For our listeners on WCFW The Tap in Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area, a special weather statement from the National Weather Service, a strong thunderstorm will impact eastern Dunn, Eau Claire, southeastern Barron, Chippewa, south central Chippewa, the correct pronunciation, south central Rusk, and northeastern Pepin counties until 4 p.m. At 3:02, train spotters reported a strong thunderstorm near Fall Creek, moving to the east at 30 miles per hour, strong winds, and perhaps nickel-sized hail. Looking at the weather radar right now, we can see a strong cell just to the north of Eau Claire right now. Also a cell between Eau Claire and Marshfield. All of this appears to be moving off to the northeast, I believe, right now. So again, for those areas in the WCFW listening area, a strong thunderstorm, not technically severe right now, but a strong thunderstorm in that area. So be aware of that. Otherwise, scattered showers, maybe for our listeners on WBZH, Buzz the North in the Hayward area right now, just north of Hayward, actually, between Hayward and Duluth, a few showers right now. And also around the La Crosse area, a couple of showers, just south of Wausau, a shower as well. But otherwise, 85 degrees, little humidity. It's summertime in the state of Wisconsin. All right, Sommers, something big happened on this day in 1908. Get this, today is Asteroid Day. Because Earth saw the largest asteroid in recorded history on this date 117 years ago.
I did not know that.
Republican Teddy Roosevelt was president on June 30th, 1908. And I'll mess this up, but it says when the Tunguska, I think that's right, Tunguska asteroid named for a nearby river exploded over a Siberian forest. The asteroid was 70 yards across and zipping along at 9 miles per second. It exploded 5 miles above the ground, so no crater was seen. But the force was 250 times greater than the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima. The shockwave flattened trees in an 830-square-mile area and knocked people down and broke windows hundreds of miles away. Here's the thing. It could, keyword could, happen again. However, today's telescopes find near-Earth objects early, and we have the know-how to use spacecraft with explosives to alter the path of objects on a collision course with Earth. Unless funding cuts eliminate those programs. How about that? As if we didn't have enough to worry about with spending cuts in D.C., What if they get rid of the technology to stop asteroids, Zomers?
Who knows? You know? And I had read about this event. I just forgot it was on this
had
day.
Had you really?
Yeah. A while ago, I did a bunch of research into some of the biggest just explosions and asteroids and stuff. And it's insane how many trees got destroyed and how, at most, three people died.
That's crazy.
With this enormous explosion just because the area was so sparsely populated. Instead, you know, like 80 million trees got destroyed, but right. Only three
not
people,
a good day to be a tree if that on this died. Date back in 1908. Wow. As Johnny Carson liked to say, I did not know that. So on this day back in 1908. Again, big shout out to stepmom Mary Alba on her 80th birthday. Great. And by the way, she's doing fantastic. Spry, gets around sharp as a tack in the old head area. See, she's doing great. So many happy birthdays, many more for her. And regards to her, happy birthday, Mary. Have a great day there for the rest of the day on this 30th of June. Tomorrow on the program, big holiday edition of What's Worse, ketchup or mustard? I don't want to get into it, Zomers, but we'll discuss ketchup or mustard. Also going to continue following what's going on big budget week. Donald Trump now saying that he's okay if they, meaning Congress, don't meet his artificial deadline of July 4th. He just wants it done. But they're in this big vote Lollapalooza, whatever they call it now. Votorama, you say Rama, I say Rama, you say tomato, I say tomato. Anyway, they're doing a big Votorama out there in D.C., And it ain't no good at all, to put just as my grandma used to say. Because what's coming out of D.C. right now is going to be absolutely catastrophic for health care in the state of Wisconsin. Call Ron Johnson. Call your Republican House members and tell them to vote no on this really bad bill. Also going to see if the Joint Finance Committee meets. There is a deadline of today on that. Looks like that's going to be extended. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, State Senator Kelda Royce, also Maggie Schreiner and Noe Goldhaber from Wisconsin Watch. Zomer is doing a great job as always. Back in Madison tomorrow. Many thanks to all the folks here at WGBW as well. Maggie Dawn is next. Todd Allball, say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate Republicans locked in a marathon session as they try to pass a massive mega bill for President Trump's domestic agenda. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Right, it's voting on a series of amendments that Democrats are putting forward to try to change this legislation that will be unsuccessful, and some amendments that Republicans are putting forward to cut even more, like a Rick Scott proposed amendment to enact further cuts onto Medicaid. Unclear if he's got the support in his own ranks among Senate Republicans to get that over the goal line.
State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce today says 16 flights have departed Israel with over 650 U.S. citizens since the Israel-Iran conflict escalated. In northern Idaho, officials identified the gunman who shot and killed, they say, two firefighters and injured a third. Police say Wes Rowley started that brush fire to lure firefighters to the scene, and police say they located the gunman on a nearby ridge and say that he died. Stocks ended up adding to gains from last week. This is ABC News.